the cost of making signage, we've seen a sharp increase, we'd say, in contractor charges and I suppose around the fertilizer area piece. Like, so farmers can be lulled maybe into delaying cutting date to justify getting a very high yield, but that does have knock-on effects then, James, I suppose, when you're when you look at the second cut, and especially the way weather conditions are, like, that second cut can get it very hard to grow if conditions are dry, if you're relying on June to do a lot of the growing possibly.
Hello, I'm James Dunn, and you're welcome to the Dairy Hedge, the Chagas Dairy Podcast. We're bringing you the latest information, insights, and opinion to improve dairy farm performance. The conversation around ensuring there's enough quality silage made to support our dairy systems is often overlooked and seems too simplistic to speak about. Yet, on some farms, silage stocks are under pressure, and nationally, when we look at the silage quality statistics, silage quality remains very average. I'm joined by dairy farmer Michael Lally and Chagas Dairy Advisor Willie Byrne to discuss a plan around silage for 2024. Willie, maybe to start with yourself in terms of that piece, having that conversation around silage quantity and quality, and often it seems very basic or very simplistic, or is that what you feel in terms of from your own experience on the ground, or how is the conversation around silage perceived within dairy farmers?
Yeah, look, James, it can be overlooked, to be honest. You can speaking to farmers in the, at group level and at individual level, like, while we do want to have enough silage, and there's nothing worse than running out of silage or being fearful of it during the spring, especially during calving time, it can be overlooked when it comes to physically making the silage. Like, and some of those issues maybe are around where farms have increased their cow numbers over time. Maybe that's a very gradual increase year to year, but you can have the same silage areas, being made. So, you can have not enough silage as a result. And when you couple that in with when we look at the last 5 maybe to 8 years where you have more challenging weather conditions, let there be droughts or whatever, or you're especially when you look back to last year, you're very difficult. Very difficult autumn, and into this year, a very difficult spring where you have definitely more reliance on the silage stocks, and that can create difficulties, I suppose, in physically having enough silage on the farm, James.
And in terms of you mentioned that in terms of we're only coming out of a what has been a difficult February, and even if we look back into last back end, some farms would have been in that little bit earlier. Grazing conditions were difficult. In terms of, I suppose, where does it fall down, Willie, from within your own client base in terms of where does it fall down with regards that planning for silage, or I suppose what's your advice to your farmer clients with regard that?
Well, I suppose, look, just to take it back to the basics, like, to get your P, your soil, we say, right, your P, K, your pH, and then your nitrogen amount on the field is correct. That's the first basic step, maybe. And that can be a challenge in some places where you have outblocks, and maybe the pH isn't correct, and it can be difficult maybe to correct low K fields as well if a proper plan isn't in place to tackle it. So
And that's something, Willie, in terms of farmers are obviously going to be thinking about now in terms of as conditions improved, getting slurry to silage out blocks, and then in terms of fertilizer applications. So what you're saying is in terms of that whole soil fertility piece is very, very important. I
It
suppose
is, and
what
it can be, it's something nearly that has to be looked at, James, from the previous autumn in terms of getting enough K on the fields without creating other difficulties, we say, around milk fever. So, it is something to consider more than just deal with maybe 6 to 8 weeks out from cutting date, we say.
Yeah, and I suppose, yeah. Why are you saying that, Willie? In terms of with that building soil fertility piece, I suppose you're talking about the back end. Maybe explain to listeners why you're saying that.
Well, you're looking at the P and K, like, as the conversation we've won, like, we're trying to get, I suppose, physically enough silage, and you're also trying to get the quality into it. So, you know, where you have the P&K correct, you're getting good active growth and you're getting grass, you know, creating its yield, we'll say, at that 6 to 7 week period, where, you know, in the absence of that, you know, you can get, you know, it really feeds into the whole thing, we'll say, around delaying cutting date because you're disappointed with the yield that's in front of you in the field.
Yes, so often that's a soil fertility issue rather than a growing period issue.
It can be.
So in terms of that's the soil fertility piece, I suppose what else do you see or what else is common on the ground there in terms of issues around maybe achieving that quantity and quality we speak about?
Yeah, well, I think Michael will probably come in on it and give his opinion there on it. But like, you can get it, you know, a delay in cutting date, right? So we're planning maybe to cut it on the 15th of May, and you know, it can be maybe I'll hold it another 5 days because of yield, and maybe then you run into weather conditions and you run into your contractor maybe you haven't them lined up correctly, and that can easily run then from, you know, it can easily run to another, you know, 15 days extra that you wouldn't have planned for, and that can create, you know, big issues around the quality part. So, you know, you see that, and I'm not sure what you'd come in on, Michael, maybe you know, maybe around the cost of making silage, and can farmers be saying, right, we need to get bulk above everything else?
Yeah, look, and it's I suppose, look, from a farm point of view, you can see the increases in in cutting the silage, like, but what you really have to look at is, you know, having quality feed there for, you know, freshly calved cows this time of the year. If you look at, you know, today's weather, it's wet, it's on off grazing, it's you need quality feed in the diet this time of the year. Like, you're setting up the cow for full lactation. You know, you need to look at a winter like we've just had, where, you know, stock, including young stock, have been in 4 to 5 weeks earlier than normal. Like, you have to, you know, you have to be thinking of the whole winter from start to finish. Like, but I think now at this time of year, it is the crucial time to be getting that good forage into freshly calved cows, and even, you know, light heifers that came in a bit light there from, you know, last year was a difficult grazing year. Like, so, you know, it's not just cows as well. Like, it covers all.
You make a point there, Michael, and I think it's one that's maybe often overlooked in terms of you're saying that the types of stock obviously you need feed quality silage for. In terms of your own planning, do you budget in terms of, and it's something that maybe doesn't happen enough at farm level in terms of maybe putting a budget in place as to the amount of silage you need, and how much of that actually needs to be quality silage? Is that something that you complete yourself?
Yeah, look, it is, like, I suppose the system here is it's a tree cut system. All of the silage ground, it's on outblocks, so, you know, we don't graze at first. It's usually silage kind of making process with us starts 6 months before we cut, to be honest. We would graze off all that ground. We'd strip graze it off tight in the autumn, and we usually actually get, you know, November, early December, before that's all tidied up. We're soil sampling every 3 years as well, and it's kind of something that Willie touched on there as well. Like, making quality silage just doesn't happen in May. It there's a chain of events before it. Like, so, you know, we're you know, we see what's underground, because that's a huge contributor to what actually will grow overground. Suppose a step on from that then is, you know, tree cut system. It is hard on ground, and you know, you have to feed these soils. So, like, you know, we're going on with maybe straight potash late in the autumn, early in the spring. You know, you have to look at the quality of these grasses, these swards that you're cutting for silage. Like, you know, we can have a 5 to 8 year. Yes, well, about an 8 to 10 year reseeding kind of policy here, like, where we'd be just, you know, doing 10% of all ground every year. Like, so again, that's a huge, if you can get your soil index right and you know, young grass, that's going to give you both yield, that's going to give you yield, but it's going to give you quality as well.
Yeah.
And you know,
So, Sorry, Michael, in terms of ultimately you've reiterated what Willie has said there in terms of soil fertility, and if I suppose if listeners don't know the status of that outside ground, it's something that's very, very important in terms of getting that yield and getting it early in the year, but also that reseeding program that you've mentioned. You were saying earlier in terms of ultimately all of your silage ground now has been reseeded within the last 6-7 years. Just with regard to that, and it's something that comes up where the people find it challenging in terms of maybe getting this silage ground actually reseeded. When do you actually do it? Because you're taking it ahead of the system, especially for farms that are under pressure in terms of winter feed. So maybe just a comment on that, Michael.
Yeah, look, traditionally, reseeding was done probably, you know, mid-August to mid-September, but I suppose we're venturing down the routes now of grass clover and, you know, red clover swards, and really there's only one time to get those in the ground, and it's in the spring. So, like, you know, if you can pull out, you know, 5-10% after your first cut silage, I think that can be a good time. Or, you know, if clover wasn't a runner, you can go in the autumn. You could always stitch it in after. Like, you know, you do have options, but look, sometimes you have to just pick what fields have to be done this year and have a plan for them, and just, you know, spray them off and just go for it. Like, so I suppose you asked the question about budgeting. Like, really, when you tick all those boxes, look at all the silage ground here, it's slurried umbilical system, like, you know, it's all contracted out, like, so, you know, there's minimum compaction there. It's you know, we're looking at nitrogen application then sort of early March. So look, you're kind of monitoring the crops as they go on into April. Generally try and cut early May, because it's, you know, again, three cut system, the later that goes on in May, the later your second cut, later your third cut, like, and I think what you can get off in your first cut is probably going to be the best quality and quantity, like, so.
And just for listeners, in terms of the kind of silage quality, the quality of your first cut silage down through the years, in terms of what are you targeting, where is it at, Michael?
Last 3 years there would have averaged 81 to 82 DMD.
And that's a cut, ultimately that's cut in kind of the first week of May is where you're at, Michael.
Yeah.
And just in terms of yields then?
Anywhere between, look, at 6 to 8 ton fresh weight. And again, your newer reseeded fields will always give your best yield. And that's what I think it drives us on to reseeding every year, like, because, you know, it's like doing a paddock in a grazing system. You know, you can physically see in front of you how much more it grows. So I suppose, look, first cut's done, and then that's when, you know, we will look at how many tons is made. We know what we need for the winter. We'll always budget a bit extra for, look, at a winter like this year. Or, you know, we're on the banks of the River Boyne here, like, it's quite a dry farm. The milking block droughts is an issue. So, you know, we'll generally try and take a good quality second cut, and then you're looking at what tons is in the yard then at the, you know, that's usually in late June, mid to late June, depending on weather. And look, you still have 3 growing months then if you have to make up quantity. And that's how we, you know, that's if we're happy with the yields we've got already, well, then we'll go on again and get a quality third cut. But generally, we let third cut go on a bit. You try and aim for sort of low 70s DMD for dry cows and, you know, well-conditioned in-calf heifers. And but, you know, you're still cutting early. You still have the whole summer to play catch-up. If you get, you know, if your first cutting date pushes on into May, as Willie mentioned earlier, a bulky first cut, your regrowths are slow on your second cut, and it does delay the whole process, like, and I think that was seen in 2023.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Michael, like, you know, especially you may have been saying it there, like, you know, the cost of making silage, we've, you know, seen a sharp increase, we'll say, in contractor charges and I suppose around the fertilizer area piece, like, so, you know, farmers can be lulled maybe into delaying cutting date to justify getting a very high yield. But that does have knock-on effects then, James, I suppose, when you're, you know, when you look at the second cut, and especially the way weather conditions are, like, you know, that second cut can get it very hard to grow if conditions are dry, you know, if you're relying on June to do a lot of the growing, possibly, you know. So as we said, like, we should be probably looking at these yields on an overall tonnage for the year than directly looking at it as a first cut, we'll say, tonnage, you know.
Yeah. That's a good point, Willie, and in terms of even where you're sitting today in Grange and Mead, Pádraic O'Cailey would have done an awful lot of work on this piece. And I just remember looking at some of his work, actually, when you take first and second cut combined, in terms of overall yield, this idea of pushing out first cut cutting date, all it actually does is reduce second cut yields. So not only do you have poorer quality, but you don't actually have any additional yield in terms of the combined crops. Just to bring you in, Willie, in terms of Michael has outlined there, in terms of, you know, he's running a three cut system, making 80 DMD silage in terms of the first cut consistently. Not everybody, I suppose, and he's going to cut on the first week of May, and not everybody's going to run a three cut system. From your own perspective, in terms of advice to clients, where is that sweet spot? We'll say if you need 75 DMD silage for those milking cows and young stock, where do we need to be cutting in terms of cutting date?
Yeah, look, I think Michael is cutting. Yeah, he, you know, he's getting excellent quality silage. Look, I think if we're pitching ourselves in, aiming for the 15th of May, have your crop well fertilized, you know, in late March. Try not to be delaying that application of fertilizer into April. That, you know, it's another reason can delay the silage cutting date, because physically the fertilizer isn't on long enough. I think, James, you know, the 15th of May, you should be well able to get 8 to 10 ton of we say 75 DMD silage.
Yeah, and it actually comes back to, when you do mention that kind of 8 to 10 ton crop, a bit of Pádraic's work again would have actually shown where soil fertility is good, you can get that 8 to 10 ton crop in that 15th to 20th of May. But where soil fertility is bad, it takes another 3 weeks. I think it was, Willie, I remember seeing where it takes another 3 weeks to get similar sort of yields. So, and obviously down, you're down into the late 60s.
Yeah.
You mentioned it, and Michael mentioned it, Willie, in terms of costs. So the concern around all of this is obviously land prices have gone up, contractor prices have gone up, fertilizer prices have gone up over the last number of years, albeit fertilizer is reverting back probably to 2021 levels now. The concern there in terms of ensuring that there's enough silage made, because maybe a lot of people are reducing fertilizer rates, maybe not taking that standing crop of silage or that bit of extra land. Your advice around that, Willie, in terms of what are we saying to farmer clients in terms of making sure there's enough feed in the yard? And
yeah, I think what you've said there, you've said some good, like, you know, if you take the first and second cut as a combined total, you know, you've no reason really maybe to be delaying date. Where you have taken a field, we say, for a first cut standalone crop that you don't have it for a second cut, you know, there is justification there, James. I feel like, to, you know, you can let that date go a little bit to get your yield, to make sure you're getting your 8 to 10 ton, because you have no second cut coming behind that crop. So there is justification there to allow that one to, you know, to go on and get your yield, we'll say, in that circumstance. But in the other ones, you know, when you're combining a first and second crop, you know, you should be trying to aim to that 15 to 20 to May. Have your contractor lined up. That's the big areas, you know, that you have your contractor on side with you, you know, and then obviously you're looking at weather conditions and stuff like that. Maybe are outside of our control, but we have to be at least ready to go.
Yeah, and it
to touch on that, like, well, with, yep, you know, with delay and a cutting date because of, you know, looking for more value for money, like, you have to weigh up there's three knock-on effects there, like the delay, as it's kind of, we, you know, both touched on it, like a later first cut it does delay your second, and if you're going to do a third cut, but you have to look at the number one cost on all farms is bought in feed. It's meal. Like, and you know, if your silage isn't up to scratch, like, you need to weigh up how much is this going to cost you in the winter on extra feed. And then I suppose, again, another a very important thing to look at is the actual cow as well. That's what we do all this for, you know, and setting that cow up, like, that she's in good condition. And, like, you know, a cow getting proper feed now, you know, she's going to maximize what her production for the whole year. But, you know, a bad silage going in this time of the year, you're looking at condition, you're breeding now is the next thing in the next, you know, 2 months. So there's several things to think about.
Your point there, Michael, is ultimately counting the costs in terms of looking at this big pit of ultimately poor quality feed. It can cost you an awful lot of money in terms of in that feeding out period. Just, Michael, in terms of how you actually manage that, then managing that in terms of silage stocks for specific stock, how are you actually doing that? And you made a point to me in terms of how you manage your first cut and where you put it and that sort of stuff. Maybe just comment for listeners on that.
Yeah. So look, we try and keep the pits as separate as we can. Look at if there has to be, you know, a bit goes on front or alongside or something. We've access to the three different cuts from the start of the winter right through. So I suppose there's just 25% of the herd calves here in the autumn. And we would sort of first cut silage is for, you know, the highest yield and freshly calved cows. We would be splitting up our young stock then as well, bull and heifers, even in calf heifers. You know, if they're a bit behind in target weights, like, they will get some of that good silage. You know, looking at second cuts the last couple of years, it's probably coming in 75, 78 DMD. I even seen it higher. It matched our first cut there 1 year, probably 2 years ago. You're probably looking at that for your main batch of young cattle and sort of late lactation cows. And then you look third cut, then all dependent on you know, forage analysis and all of this. Like, but third cut generally is kind of, we'd let that kind of bulk up a bit, and you're looking at dry cow sort of in calf heifer feed there. Like, so
It's about having the feed in the right places too, and that's often the challenge at farm level in terms of, you know, there's maybe two cuts going in on top of one another, or the first cut's behind the second cut. And
it is, and it's something a nutritionist will always say to you, like, but look at even using a shear grab, it's you know, it is amazing what you can do if you have to, you know, if you have to get at different feeds. You know, it's worth it, like, when you look at it. When you weigh up everything, it's important.
Is there an argument, Willie, there in that case where possibility there is only one pit? Like, should there be? Should some farmers, depending on the scale, but should some farmers actually be looking at maybe having some high quality bales available there, or even a percentage of the first cut should be in bales, just to have them available to feed out when you actually need them.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of the big problems is, like, Michael has the ideal scenario there where he's access to the tree cuts, but definitely, you know, you will have a lot of people who get a very hard access, you know, an individual cut. So I think it's maybe around planning, you know, your silage pits, or exactly, you know, James, I think so. Like, the availability of high quality bales, especially to the old young stock, and especially maybe to the freshly calved cows on the farm. You know, it is something we should be thinking about it if the pit isn't allowing it, you know.
It's probably something longer term in terms of if you can put something in place that Michael has, it you know, that's the gold standard in terms of having separate pits ultimately for the cuts. But I suppose that is an option in terms of around that. Willie, we spoke a lot in terms of that whole soil fertility piece and making sure that we've correct fertilizer applications. Just, I suppose, what is the recommendation for our listeners in terms of a first cut silage crop? People will be thinking about it now. With regards slurry and fertilizer applications.
Yeah, look at James. It's important, I suppose, to get not to let the applications go too late, because that'll directly delay cutting date. So, look at But you're putting on 3,000 gallons, 2,500 to 3,000 gallons of slurry. You should be aiming to get on, you know, that should fulfill your K element, 60 to 80 units of K going on. And you're aiming to have 15 units of P. And again, your slurry will go very close to fulfilling that. And then you're looking at, 80 units of chemical nitrogen going on top of that, where you're bringing your overall chemical nitrogen up to, or your overall nitrogen up to, 90 to 100 units of nitrogen to, to grow that good 8 to 10 ton crop.
And Willie, we often hear in terms of the use of sulfur maybe, and a lot of farmers maybe now are including sulfur. Why would they be doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Like sulfur plays a role in yield, for straight up yield, and also then it'll help to it'll help your silage quality, we'll say. So you're looking there, especially on the lighter freer draining side, trying to get on, we'd say 12 to 15 units of sulfur.
I suppose then, Michael, bringing you in on that in terms of that building that soil fertility piece, and you mentioned it there, Willie, the K, just explain to us how you actually do that.
Yeah, look at the, cutting silage, it's a big demand on K's in soils. So like, the last, I think it's probably four or five, it could be 5 years in a row now, actually, where we have spread straight potash, so 50 units on November, December, or look at last year that didn't happen with weather, so we went with half of that in January, end of January, because we were going with slurry as well. So we would probably go 3,000 gallons of slurry. If it's watery or if it's out of different tanks, like you could go more or less on that. But then look at the likes of this year, 2024, because we didn't get as much K's out artificially, early, like we have to keep that in mind now for after the third cut. Like early spring, late autumn are good times for uptake of K. But yeah, look, you have to replace what you take off these soils.
Yeah, and you to try and achieve that, I think, Michael, there maybe in the back end or very early or in the year, that you're not relying on it all going on, we say in the next fortnight.
Yeah, and like I suppose we've extra slurry storage on the farm now, like, so we're going with that 3,500 gallons now, and there is more slurry goes on after first cut, and yeah, look, we're probably going little and often with P and K, as opposed to maybe traditionally, front loading it all early in the spring, like, and it's a good help for soil uptake.
Yep. You mentioned cutting date, and you've come to a lot, guys, and it's one that comes up in terms of, Michael, I want to know how you deal with the situation where we hear this one in terms of obviously weather and openings in the weather and maybe it being difficult conditions. And often, maybe cases at farm level, we see it delays cutting date by 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And all of a sudden, we've planned for quality silage, but we've a very mediocre crop. How are you dealing with that? Like, that was pretty challenging, obviously, in terms of last May. How did you actually deal with that? And what would you say to farmers around that piece?
Yeah, look, it's very easy. We're in mid-March here and we're talking about cutting silage, and, it sounds great to have this plan of how you're going to do it. But like, even as we speak today, like, we're actually putting out the fertilizer on the silage ground because, middle of this week onwards, the weather's broken. Like, and you have to be watching the weather. You have to take a chance. Like, good communication with contractor is definitely number one. We actually have a WhatsApp group here between us all, like, so that everyone is in the know of, when we're, say, coming to the end of April, you'd be thinking, look, you'd be watching the weather, say. So we go back to last May, it was very difficult, like, but, three good days came together. I think it was the 2nd of May, and we got about 60% of the first cut done. There wasn't enough weather to do it all, like, so it was, at the time, it was dry, but it was still coldish, like, it wasn't just your, warm 20-degree days, like, we didn't see many of them, so, like, we actually would have put on extra additive, just to, to top up sugars, really, just make sure we'd enough, the fermentation just to maximize that really. But in general, we'd never really put on additives. We get it mowed down, and we've our own tether that we look at. We kind of follow the mowers pretty much straight away. Generally, the two are working in the same field. Look at grass goes through. If you look at the science, you know, grass going through a conditioner mower, you have 2 to 3 hours to get as much moisture out of that plant as possible. And then it starts to shrivel. It starts to, you know, starts to close up. Like so we're in tedding it out, and we'll probably ted it again because the you know, it's a full leaf crop, if you know what I mean. There's no stem, and it does take a bit more drying compared to a, you know, a rougher cut of silage that you'd see later on, or a dry cow cut. Like so, and then we're aiming to kind of be picking it up then 24-30 hours after it's mowed, and keep it well rolled in. And look, we're probably lucky. The contractor is local. He only has, you know, we're probably one of two or three that caught early silage. So look, you know, he's only ever a day or two away. You have to keep them on your side too, because, you know, picking up the phone the day you want to cut sometimes just doesn't go down well. Do you know that sort of way?
Yeah. It's having that understanding that there's other people on the end of the phone as well. But as you say, keeping good communication. And interesting there in terms of that, you know, 24 to 36 hour period. That's the critical period in terms of when we go any longer than that, in terms of you're really starting to reduce feed quality. So
I've seen that, you know, I've seen us mowing and you have a good, you know, you've got a real hot day, good breeze, like that grass could be fit to pick up in 20 hours. Like, you know, it just, you have to kind of deal with the weather you have. You have to deal with how many other lads are on his cards. Like, and I suppose, look at machinery, output of everything, it's gone quite big. Like, so, you know, you're looking at a lot of acres in a day now. Like, and it's a good way of getting through.
Very good. I think, lads, in terms of we've covered an awful lot off there. I suppose my take home messages really are, you know, ultimately do a silage budget, know what's required for your farm, understanding of the soil fertility of the outblocks is ultimately a big one, and ensuring that we're definitely building soil fertility. And you've outlined, Michael, in terms of how you do that on your farm, in terms of with your K applications late in the year or very early in the spring, having a good reseeding program, and as you said, Willie, in terms of correct fertilizer applications off the back of that. If you go to the Chagas website, you'll be fit to get in terms of fertilizer applications for first cut. And then in terms of that kind of cutting this, don't be thinking in terms of delaying that by the extra week or two. As you said, Willie, it has an impact on subsequent cuts in terms of look at it as an overall annual tonnage rather than a tonnage of one crop alone. Yeah. So look, at thanks a million, lads, in terms of that's it for this week's episode of the Dairy Edge podcast. I want to thank both Michael Lally and Willie Byrne for joining us on this week's show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, go to the Chagas website at chagas.ie. I'm James Dunn. Join us next time for your Dairy Edge.